Please be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable before you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We come this morning to another appearance of Jesus to the disciples after his death and resurrection. This time we're told it happened by the Sea of Tiberias, otherwise known as the Sea of Galilee. Interestingly, Jesus made the disciples some breakfast on the beach, and I'm so tempted to talk about the theology of a beautiful breakfast on the beach this morning, but I won't. The critical moment in this gospel lesson today is not our breakfast at all, no matter how charming that could have been. Rather, the intense dialogue between Jesus and Peter seems to be what is central to this passage. So this morning, I'll be looking at two key outputs from Jesus' dialogue with Peter. The first point is Jesus' question to Peter, asking him, "Do you love me?" So what has God love got to do with following Jesus? The second point, which I'll be looking at, was Jesus' instruction to Peter to feed his sheep. What has feeding sheep got to do with following Jesus? So shall we begin? Do you love me? Peter denied Jesus thrice before the crucifixion, as we know. But like every good Christian, Peter felt remorseful that he messed up. He cried when he discovered that he had let himself and the Lord down. Matthew and Luke both confirmed to us that Peter actually wept, so he felt bad. We're not sure, but it's a fair guess that Peter probably said sorry to God in his heart, like we all do when we mess up. Peter's action seems to have followed a typical pattern that most of us can relate to, which is we make a mistake or do something wrong, then we feel bad, we say sorry to God, we feel a bit better, then forget all about it. But often on the inside of us, nothing really changes. And sadly, because the heart remains unchanged, when the conditions that led to those original wrongdoings are recreated, we find ourselves reverting to the same sins or mistakes again and again. So sadly, we see this cycle of sin destroying the intense spiritual experience of what many are taking for repentance. So, Peter found himself going around the cycle of sin, denying Christ three times before the cock crew as the crucifixion of Christ approached. So Jesus knew, knowing the state of Peter's heart, recreated the denial scene by the beach, by the Sea of Galilee. Almost like resetting a movable theater stage, Jesus set the scene to mirror the conditions in which Peter had denied him. So we had an exhausted Peter, a few people around, a bit cozy atmosphere warmed up by the charcoal fire burning. Then Peter and Jesus had their conversation around the charcoal fire. By the way, the particular Greek word for charcoal fire is used in only one other place in the whole of the New Testament, and that is in John chapter 18, verse 18, where John referred to the charcoal fire in the courtyard where Peter had denied the Lord. So with the stage fully set, Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than this?" This question was probably a subtle reminder of Peter's previous boast to be more loyal to Jesus than all the other disciples. But the proud, arrogant Peter, who used to be so sure of himself, was now thoroughly humbled. "Lord, you know I love you," was Peter's humble response to Jesus. For a second time, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me more than the rewards, more than the possible sense of fulfillment you derive from your fishing career?" And for a third time, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me? Probably do you love me more than your life, more than your skin, more than anything?" Again, Peter says, "Lord, you know I love you." Well, it was an intense conversation. And we know this because John tells us that Peter felt pained by the third time Jesus was asking him if he actually loved Jesus. Maybe Peter would have preferred that Jesus be more gracious and overlook the whole denial episode. After all, it was probably a little breach of loyalty when Peter's life was on the line and he felt he had no choice. Well, as Bonhoeffer, the German theologian who died in Nazi Germany, puts it, in contrast to cheap grace, which is defective, costly grace confronts us as a gracious call to follow Jesus. It comes as a word of forgiveness to the broken spirit and the contrite heart. It is costly because it compels a man to submit to the yoke of Christ and follow him. Jesus healed Peter's heart. I believe Jesus got rid of Peter's arrogance as well as his guilt and shame. So, as painful as the conversation by the beach was, it was absolutely crucial for them to have had that frank talk in order to bring back Peter to following Jesus. To my second point, feed my sheep, the instruction Jesus gave to Peter. In the beginning of Peter's association with Jesus, Jesus had told Peter to forsake fishing and follow Christ, promising Peter that he will make him fish for people instead. So, not only did Peter deny the person of Jesus, but Peter turned his back on his assignment as a minister of the gospel. Rather than fulfilling his calling, Peter went back fishing, as we saw in our reading today. And in case you're wondering, if Peter just went for a leisurely fishing experience, that wasn't the case. As we saw in that reading, Peter and his friends stayed up all night toiling to catch some fish. I mean, the narrative does not appear to be a casual fishing experience or a hobby. What they had done was they had considered the days of mission and preaching and all those other ministry stuff as over after Jesus died. But after Peter confirmed his love for Jesus, Jesus gave Peter the opportunity to regain his ministry. Notice that each of those three times that Peter was asked if he loved the Lord, he responded he loved Jesus. Then there was a follow-up instruction, feed my lamb, tend my sheep. That is, fulfill my will for your life, Peter. Fulfill my purpose for your life. That was Jesus' instruction to Peter. And having established this point to Peter, Jesus then told him to follow him. So Jesus recommissions Peter by that same beach, by that same Sea of Galilee, where Peter's ministry as a disciple began in the first place. And thankfully, we're told by the early historians that Peter then lived and died faithful to Jesus to the very end. The good news is that even when Peter had given up on himself and his ministry, Jesus never gave up on Peter. So maybe you're sitting here this morning and you feel exhausted, tired, and you feel you're on the brink of giving up on the Lord's promises for your life, whatever that might be or look like. Be encouraged by the example of Peter. That amazing grace of Christ that put up Peter from the rubbles of denial and restored him to become a pillar in the church of Christ is still available today. You might have stumbled and failed like Peter, but by accepting the grace of Christ, you could begin to follow in the footsteps of Christ all over again. As I conclude, I'd like to recap what I've talked about this morning. We began by looking at how Jesus restored Peter. We saw that by asking Peter to carefully consider his love for Christ, Jesus did a thorough work of genuine repentance in Peter's heart, thereby breaking the cycle of sin. And only then was Peter able to grasp the magnitude of Christ's forgiveness and was truly restored to following Christ. Secondly, we saw that in recommissioning Peter back to ministry, Jesus' role as the Lord and Master was unequivocally clear. Peter was the disciple. Wherever the Master leads, the disciple follows. The disciple does the will of the Master. So Jesus made it obvious that it was impossible to be a disciple without a willingness to follow in Christ's footsteps. As we reflect on our own relationship with Christ, I wonder if we have considered what it means to submit to the yoke of Christ and follow him. This yoke is the grace of Christ, and Jesus says, "My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I pray that like Peter, we may all receive the grace this morning to follow Christ till the end of our days. Amen.